They quickly found room 117. Link reached up to remove the cover over the closest light fixture and pulled the fluorescent tubes from their brackets. The four donned night vision goggles, and Juan turned the doorknob. The room beyond looked like a typical dorm room, with two metal-framed beds, a pair of desks, and matching bureaus. The adjoining bathroom was a small tiled enclosure, with a drain on the floor for the shower. In the eerie green cast of the goggles, shapes were indeterminate, and colors washed out to shades of black, but the silhouettes of people sleeping on the beds were unmistakable. So was the snoring. Eddie pulled a small plastic case from the thigh pocket of his fatigue pants. Inside were four hypodermic needles. The narcotic cocktail inside the barrels would incapacitate a grown man in under 20 seconds. Because Kyle had willingly joined the cult, he would surely resist their efforts to get him out. The deprogrammer, Adam Jenner, had recommended drugging the youth to Linda when they'd spoken, although Juan had planned to do it even without the advice. Eddie gave a needle to Cabrillo and approached one of the beds. The man was sleeping on his stomach, his face turned to the wall. In a fluid movement, Sung clamped his hand around the man's mouth and slid the needle into his neck, his thumb coming down on the plunger with even pressure. Across the room, Juan did the same thing. His victim came instantly awake and bucked against Juan's arm, his eyes wide with panic. Juan held him down easily, even when the man's legs began to thrash. Juan counted down from 20 in his head. When he reached 10, the man's gyrations were slowing, and when he hit 3, the guy was totally still. Juan flashed his penlight into the man's face. Although Kyle Hanley took after his mother, Juan saw enough of Max in the boy to know it was him.
Got him.
As a precaution, Link whipped flexicuffs around Kyle's ankles and wrists before tossing him over his shoulder.
All set, big man? Juan asked.
Link grinned in the darkness.
I carried your sorry butt for 8 miles in Cambodia 3 years ago, so this boy's nothing. Can't weigh but 120.
A bell began shrieking just as they started back down the corridor. It sounded like a fire alarm, a shrill, piercing sound that pounded on their eardrums like daggers. There was no way to communicate over the din, but the men were seasoned professionals and knew what was expected of them. Eddie was in the lead, followed closely by Link and Mark. All three men accelerated down the hallway, any attempt at stealth forgotten. This was no longer a snatch and grab, but a race to the perimeter wall, where, if Link and Eddie had done as ordered, a limpet mine was in place to blast through the blocks. Linda Ross was near enough to hear the klaxon and would be on the radio instructing George Adams to bring the Robinson in for a fast extraction. He'd land directly on the road and would have the team aboard before any guards knew what had happened. A door to one side of Juan flew open, and a sleepy-eyed man wearing pajama bottoms stepped into the corridor. Cabrillo slammed his elbow into the man's jaw, spiraling him to the carpet in a rubbery heap. Ahead, another man poked his head out of his dormitory room. Even with the dead weight of Kyle Hanley on his shoulder, Link juked sideways and stiff-armed the responsivist. The man's head hit the metal doorframe. And, as Juan raced past, the man's eyes rolled into his head until only the whites shone. He collapsed backward like a felled tree. Eddie instinctively paused when they reached the exterior door. Juan checked the video feed on his sleeve, but Linda must have been occupied with Adams because the circling drone's camera showed nothing but the ocean just north of them. He could hear her girlish voice in his radio's earbud, but the alarm was too loud to make out her words. All he caught was her strident tone. He shrugged at the lack of intel and opened the door, leading with his Glock. With the exception of alarms sounding across the compound, everything looked as tranquil as before. There were no rushing guards or any movement at all. It didn't even appear that additional lights had come on. Clear of the sonic avalanche of the bell inside the dormitory, Juan pressed his hands to his ears to try to hear what Linda was shouting.
"Get out of there! Guards on the far side! Gomez is coming in! Hurry!"
They made their way out of the building, stopping for cover just short of the perimeter wall.
"Linda, give me a sit-rep," Cabrillo said.
"Is that you who just went through a window?"
"Yes. What's the situation?"
"There are three guards near the dorm's entrance, and another dozen or so fanning out across the compound. All are heavily armed, and two of them are on four-wheelers. George is on his way. You should be able to hear the chopper."
Juan could hear the drumming of the Robinson's rotor through the evening air.
"Tell Max to get moving, too. We might have to use Plan C."
"Juan, I'm on the net," Max Hanley said over the radio. "We're underway right now. Do you have Kyle?"
"We do. He's fine for the moment, but we need to get the hell out of here."
"Don't worry, the cavalry's coming."
"That's what they said at Little Bighorn when Custer showed up, and you know how that turned out."